The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on August 13, 1995 at Bhaktivedanta Manor in London, England. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 17, verse 5 through 6.
Translation. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances not recommended in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish and who torture the material elements of the body as well as the super soul with dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Translation. Those who undergo severe austerities and penances,
not recommended
in the scriptures, performing them out of pride and egoism, who are impelled by lust and attachment, who are foolish, and who torture the material elements of the body, as well as the super soul dwelling within, are to be known as demons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are persons who manufacture modes of austerity and penance which are not mentioned in the scriptural injunctions. For instance, fasting for some ulterior purpose, such as to promote a purely political end, is not mentioned in the scriptural directions. The scriptures recommend fasting for spiritual advancement, not for some political end or social purpose. Persons who take to such austerities are, according to Bhagavad Gita, certainly demoniac. Their acts are against the scriptural injunctions and are not beneficial for the people in general. Actually, they act out of pride, false ego, lust, and attachment for material enjoyment. By such activities, not only is the combination of material elements of which the body is constructed disturbed, but also the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself living within the body. Such unauthorized fasting or austerities for some political end are certainly very disturbing to others. They are not mentioned in the Vedic literature. A demoniac person may think that he can force his enemy or other parties to comply with his desire by this method, but sometimes one dies by such fasting. These acts are not approved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he says that those who engage in them are demons. Such demonstrations are insults to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because they are enacted in disobedience to the Vedic scriptural injunctions. The word achetasaha is significant in this connection. Persons of normal mental condition must obey the scriptural injunctions. Those who are not in such a position neglect and disobey these scriptures and manufacture their own way of austerities and penances. One should always remember the ultimate end of the demoniac people, as described in the previous chapter. The Lord forces them to take birth in the wombs of demoniac persons. Consequently, they will live by demonic principles life after life without knowing their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If, however, such persons are fortunate enough to be guided by a spiritual master who can direct them to the path of Vedic wisdom, they can get out of this entanglement and ultimately achieve the supreme goal. The Dr. Swami translation and purport. The text 5 and 6 of chapter 17 in the matter of divisions of faith. So, Lord Krishna here describing that every kind of austerity or penance is not the same. We should do austerities and penances for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Yajna Vai Vishnu. Austerities are meant, yajnas or sacrifices are meant for the pleasure of Vishnu. Yajna Artat Kamano Nyatra Loko Yam Karma Bandhana. Any kind of sacrifice we perform which is meant for the pleasure of Vishnu, this is going to cause our freedom. Otherwise, if we do it for any other purpose, it simply causes our bondage in the material world. Hare Krishna. Now, this is somewhat, this is like the example of eating gore off the elbow. You know that example. You know jaggery? Molasses, jaggery. So you know the story about eating it off your elbow? There was once in India a very poor man, and he wanted to get some jaggery, some gur, sugar molasses. And he asked the shopkeeper, "May I have some jaggery?" And shopkeeper said, "Yes, 10 rupees a kilo, how much you want?" "No, no, I don't have any money." "No money, no jaggery." So he was feeling very bad. He wanted to eat the molasses. And he made a plan. He saw that in front of one shop there was a big barrel full of liquid molasses, jaggery. So he said, "I'll go there and make believe as if I think it's just a, like a hard surface, and I'll lean into it. And by leaning, then I'll get the jaggery on my elbow. Then I'll eat it." So he went, look at, what a mess. Very sorry, too bad. Then he went off into the nearby forest. Now he's got all the gore, the molasses on his elbow. So he's thinking, "Now I can enjoy. Now I will eat." Or then, "You can't eat. It's not, can you maybe, I mind that you can do it?"
"Yeah."
So he got the jaggery on his elbow, but he couldn't get it in his mouth. The point is, people try to do things by unauthorized means. It doesn't work in spiritual life. We can't trick Krishna. So what happens is instead we make a fool out of ourselves, just like the man who got the jaggery on his elbow, but he couldn't eat it. In this material world, there are devotees and there are demons. And then there are many innocent people in between who are influenced. So in this verse, it talks especially about a type of so-called austerity and penance which was performed out of false ego, pride, anger, egoism, which is causing a lot of pain to the body. Sometimes people fast to death. They say that if this is not given to me, if you don't stop building a dam in some place, or you don't do this or that, then I'll fast to death. But it's not the reason to fast. Fasting, you do Janmashtami, Ekadasi, Radhastami, you do Ram Navami. For Krishna, you can do fast. But to do it out of a political demonstration, causing suffering to the body. Krishna is here giving his opinion that this is demonic. This is not the reason to do such things. We may think that this is very good, people may appreciate, but actually what is right and what is wrong, just like a child learns from the parents, they may not know what is right and what is wrong, but the parents will teach them, and gradually they can come to know. But for us to understand what is right, what is wrong, we need to know from Krishna. He knows what is actually good and what is not. Now, this is a very strong point here. Everything we do, we should do according to Shastra, according to the scriptural injunction. Scriptures are the orders of God. If we follow the laws of God, follow the laws of Bhagavan, then we are free from all kinds of karmas. You know what jackfruit is? Kathal, jackfruit? It's an Indian fruit. So big like this, you can get even this big. Inside, what is inside the jackfruit? So many little fruits, pieces of fruit. Very sticky, very sweet. One man was walking on the road by the side, on the country, and he was walking by the side of an orchard, a bagan, and there he saw beautiful jackfruit on the top of the tree. Beautiful. Jackfruit was very ripe. Good smell was coming. And he thought, I love jackfruit. I want to eat the jackfruit. But he was having a very big mustache. So he was afraid that if I eat the jackfruit, it will get stuck in my mustache. So then he went and got some oil. And he put the oil in his mustache. So the mustache was all lubricated. So now the jackfruit won't get stuck in his mustache. Hare Krishna. Glory to the Pujaris.
All glories to Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. Then he went back. And he looked around. He didn't find the gardener or anyone. So he thought, I'm going to just steal the jackfruit. And he climbed up the tree. As he was climbing up higher and higher and higher, he was getting right by the jackfruit. And then suddenly the branch broke. Ah! He fell down on the ground. His arm was broken. He was lying on his back. And he goes, oh, oh! So much pain. And his screaming. Then the gardener came and saw here this person, obviously he fell down, he was trying to steal the jackfruit. He started beating him with a stick. Chor, chor, kaltal kachor, beating him. Thief, thief, jackfruit thief. So here the poor man, he's lying on his back, looking up at the jackfruit, getting beaten with a stick, broken bones. So jackfruit, where's the jackfruit? Jackfruit's in the tree. But on his mustache, he's got the oil. So this is called Gache Kathal Gopithel. You understand the meaning of this story? Very funny story. What's the meaning, right? The man, he wants to get the jackfruit. What is the jackfruit? It's a fruit. Just like somebody wants to get the fruit of life. What is the highest fruit of life? That's the Bhagavan, Bhakti. Someone wants to get pure bhakti. But instead of going to the owner of the orchard, to the representative of the owner, who is the gardener, and making arrangement, he can buy the jackfruit for 15 rupees. I just bought in India. 15 rupees I got, for 50 rupees I got four big jackfruit in my village, in Mayapur, Bamanpukur. We offered to the yeti. That's a 1 pound. Four jackfruit. I think it's more expensive here.
20 pound
like that. So it's like still, next time I come, I'll bring you for the dailies. He could have paid for the jackfruit. Instead now, how much he has to pay? Broken arm, broken bone, police case, suffering. But he was so proud. Even first he could get the jackfruit, then he can worry about putting the oil. But if without jackfruit already put oil, that means he was so sure he could already taste. Like that, sometimes people think that I have bhakti, I am a devotee, I can get Bhagavan. But they don't follow Shastra. They don't go to the Guru. Krishna says, if you want to come to me, go by Guru. If he went to the representative, the owner of the garden, he would have got the jackfruit. Pay the price, you take it. Like that, if you want to go to Krishna and get the fruit, we have to go through the gardener. We have to go through the Guru. But if we don't, we want to steal. At the end, what happened? We get so much trouble. Not that the Guru will beat us, but Maya will beat us. Another representative. So, that's why Shastra here is very important for us, because this means that if we follow the Shastra, we can avoid all kinds of problems. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he advised all of the followers to not be negligent or lazy when it comes to studying the conclusion of Shastra or Scripture. Siddhanta niye na koroho alas. Don't be lazy when it comes to knowing what the Shastra says. We know what the laws are about driving, right? Everyone's driving here. They know which side to drive on, how to avoid getting the points on their license. They know the driving laws. People know so many different laws. But we should know the most important laws are the laws of God. Sometimes you can speed also and not get caught. Sometimes you may get also caught. But may not always get caught. But with Krishna's law, any time you break it, it is recorded. They have book. And every time you do something good for Krishna, that's also recorded. So we should know what is good to do and what is not good to do. We should do the good things and avoid the bad things. So this can be easily acquired, but it requires some studying of scripture under the Vaishnavas. It's important that we recognize our Guru. We go to Krishna through the proper Guru. Now sometimes, there was one devotee, one in a place called Ganadas Khandra, there was a devotee called some Chakravarti. And he was a big Brahmin family, and his Param Gurudev, his Guru's Guru, was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. Great famous Sanskrit scholar, great devotee. But his guru, that means he was not so well known. But he was very sincere devotee, but he was not so famous. So when people would ask him, who's your guru? He wouldn't say his own guru's name, but he said his guru's guru's name. Who was more famous? Because of that, Nityananda Prabhu's son, Virchandra Prabhu, he had him excommunicated from the Vaishnava society. He said that this person is a maha aparadi, great offender. Doesn't recognize how the kripa, how the mercy is coming down from Krishna through the Guru Parampara. He's neglecting his own Guru and claiming to be the disciple of his Guru's Guru. That's called Guru Avagya. Offense to the Guru. Guru Morjada Langana. So because of that, he had order written that this person nobody should associate. He is very proud and he has committed a great offense to his Guru by not accepting his own Guru but claiming to be the disciple of his Guru's Guru. And how the mercy is coming down through the Guru. That mercy of his Param Guru, of his grandfather Guru, that's coming down through his Guru. We get the connection through the disciplic succession or Guru Parampara. Because it's spiritual, there's no delay. The mercy comes direct. All of the mercy of the previous acharyas is available to the devotee. We simply have to link up with a bona fide link and then we can get the connection. But there's certain etiquette we have to follow. Now Ramchandra, when he went back to Ayodhya, he was invited to go to some function at the Lanka again to see Vibhishana. So this time he took with him Bharat. And he and Bharata went together, and then he took Bharat first to see Sugriv, the monkey king. There Angada, Hanuman, they were all there. So the wife of Angada, she came up and said to Ram, where is your Sita? Without Sita, you're not, we are missing Sita. We don't like to see you without Sita. But that time Sita was vanished. And Ram, couldn't speak also. But they saw all the devotees. Then Ram went to Lanka and got a very big reception, royal reception from Vibhishana. Then Vibhishana's wife, he saw Ram, he was asking, where is the beautiful Sita? You are not looking as wonderful without Sita. With Sita by your side, you are incomparable. Krishna should be with his Shakti, Sita and Ram. This is the way we approach the Lord, because the Shakti or the energy of the Lord is a mercy personified. We go through the Lord to the mercy of the Lord. So the Lord, beauty is expanded when He's with His energy. Like sun, without sunlight, what is the meaning? Sun and sunlight and sun's heat together, that has a meaning. So we want to approach the Lord, we go through the mercy of the Lord. We say Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, and Guru is representative of that mercy. Guru is a confidential servitor of Radharani or Sita. So by Guru we get to Sita and Ram, Radha and Krishna. Now, because of so many circumstances, Ram was obliged to ban Sita into the forest. But Sita was very happy in the forest, remembering her pastime with Ram, with her son, Kush and Lava. But Ram was feeling very much separation, and he was worshipping a golden form of Sita, of Murti. If you remember, when Sita and Ram first went into the Dandakaranya, on the way to Dandakaranya, they went on the side of the Ganges. At that time, following the path of the Ganges, they went to Mayapur Dam. And in Mayapur Dam, they went to a place which is not different from Ayodhya. There, Ram was smiling. And Sita said, why you are smiling? What you are thinking about? And he said, I'm thinking how in Kali Yuga I will come as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And you will come as Vishnu Priya. And in this pastime, you'll be banished to the forest and be very happy, and I'll be worshipping you. And in that pastime, I will go to the forest as a sannyasi, and you will be worshipping a golden deity of me. Someone sometime asked why Sita was banned, it's not clear, but so many considerations are there, very difficult to understand the lila of the Lord. These are unfathomable. But then the Lord reciprocated. Since Sita was banished once, so next time Ram, he also became banished. When he came as Lord Chaitanya, you see here this form of Gauranga, six hands. Two are playing the flute, two are carrying the tanu, that bow and arrow, and two are with the kamandalu and the danda. So Lord Chaitanya is the combination, it contains all. Ram, Krishna, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So, as Ram has also come in the form of Gauranga. So that's, since in that previous Leela, he was forced to banish Sita. This time, he banished himself. And at age of 24, he left the house and took sannyas and accepted the life in the forest of a sannyasi. But he was very happy, just like Sita was happy in the forest. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. But Vishnupriya, she was feeling the separation. And she had a golden deity of Lord Chaitanya made and was worshipping. This year is the 500th anniversary year of Vishnupriya. The 5th centennial. All over India, there's so many celebrations, at least Eastern India, going on for Vishnupriya. Here you're probably doing something also on her appearance day. Not everyone knows. So Lord Chaitanya is Ram and Vishnupriya is Sita. These are the mysteries, how the Lord comes in every yuga. Sambhavami, juge, juge. So when Ram came, he had killed the Ravana and the demons with a bow and arrow. But when he comes as Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he doesn't use the bow and arrow. What is he using? Yes, he doesn't kill the demon, but he kills their demoniac nature. Asura bhava vinash kottai. Kills the demonic nature without killing the person. By chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We get rid of all the contamination of this mundane world. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a special means to cleanse our consciousness. Cheto Darpana Marjana. Like you clean a mirror. You wipe off the mirror and then it becomes clean. So how do you clean your consciousness? Do you eat some detergent or soap? I don't recommend. It will be very unhealthy. You can clean the body with soap, but how to clean the consciousness? We are so careful every day. People take their bath. I was talking to one gentleman. I said, do you chant Hare Krishna? He said, I don't have time. You don't have time. You take bath in morning. He said, I take bath. How do you find the time? No, but we have to take our bath. But just like you have to take a physical bath, you have to also take spiritual bath. We need to chant to cleanse away all that contamination from the consciousness. Cheto darpano marjanam. Marjanam means to cleanse. It's very important. Every day we have our clothes washed. We put on the fresh cloth. At least most civilized people. So, why do we do that? We don't want to wear dirty clothes. But we are keeping that same consciousness. Consciousness is gradually accumulating so many dirts, dusts, from bad association, from lust, anger, greed. Just like if you're with someone who's very angry, inside you, you suddenly may also feel angry. If you're with someone who's very greedy, you may also start to feel a little greedy. Tendency is there, association comes off on us. So all that is dirt on our consciousness. How do we get clear of it? Sometimes we may think in a way we know that's not right. So every day we need to bathe ourselves in the ocean of nectar of chanting. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here, how many of you are chanting japa every day? How many do japa chanting? So many are doing. How many do 16 rounds? 8 rounds? 4 rounds? So very nice. Whatever you can do, if you do 16 rounds in a year, it adds up to 1 crore of Harinam. Ek koti. 16 malas, or bead, 16 rounds is equal to the 10 million plus. So if you do 8 rounds a day, then that goes to 5 million times Hare Krishna a year. You become millionaire. Putting in your spiritual bank account. All of you can become spiritual millionaires if you deposit every day. Even if you give 15 minutes a day and do 2 malas a day, then you're still going to get, is that enough? 8 rounds, almost enough. How many? 1/4, yes?
Yeah.
Over a million.
Yeah.
15 minutes, 2 rounds a day, and you're still a millionaire. It's very important to do every day some chanting of Hare Krishna.